Ember and Ice, a Quinn original. Episode 2, Dane. If I have even one more glass of wine, I might drown. But that is a risk I'm willing to take. And besides, how often do you get to celebrate the end of a war with your sworn enemy? I've earned a little excess. Everyone here has. Believe it or not, this isn't even the real celebration. The official party is tomorrow when the Lunare arrive to formally seal the peace between our courts. This is just the celebration of the idea of the celebration. The Solari may be fearsome warriors, but they really do know how to revel. I hold my glass out to the beautiful woman beside me, and she graciously fills it. Thank you. I'll need to stay well-oiled if I want any hope of getting back on that dance floor. She says something back. I can't hear over the music, but I smile and nod like I can. And then I realize, shit, I've forgotten her name. Zara, Zaya. She's one of the handmaidens for my brother's wife. But which wife? Which brother? My eyes scan the table packed with Fae. Looking for someone I can escape to. The dance floor is a sea of limbs and wings, sweaty bodies moving with wild abandon to the music. All right, well, good to know I'm not the drunkest one here. Judging by the look of things, I might not even be in the top 10. I spot my father in his designated seat at the head of the table. He smacks a thick hand on the wood. Having so hard, he spills his own mug of ale. The sight makes me smile. I haven't seen him laugh like this since before the war. We lost many good men, but our gains will be substantial. Their deaths were not in vain, and relief at that thought fuels tonight's merrymaking. We pushed the Lunare back. And by we, I do mean me. Scourge of the sky. How many battles were won just by my spear? How many Lunari men turned tail at the sight of my wings blotting out the sun? Sun scribes have painted gilded murals of my wings in villages I've never even visited. My medals could anchor a ship. And children race through the streets singing songs about me. Terrible pitch, but it's the thought that counts. The greatest honor, though, has been the way my father started to look at me. For so long, I was nothing but a handsome disappointment. I have 4 older brothers. In line for the crown, I'm basically tied with the family dog. And everyone knows it. For as long as I can remember, I've known I am the last resort spare, not the heir. But fate was not so cruel to me. If I could not be the most important Solari son, I could at least be the handsomest, the most charming, the funniest, the best at flying, the best at cooking, the best at everything except punctuality. And that's a choice. I've yet to find something I'm not quick to master. Including war, apparently. If I'm being honest, maybe that was only partially skill. Maybe I could fight without fear because I knew if something happened to me, it wouldn't really matter to anyone. Despair, remember. I don't know if anyone has ever really cared about me. Well, maybe. Someone I knew. Many summers ago. I need a little air. I find myself on the balcony. The light from the banquet spills out, buttery and warm. but it's the cool air I want. I stare up at the moon. For the last 5 years, the sky has been where I found my purpose. Every battle, every victory. God, it felt good to matter. Peace time will give me more laughter and drinking and fucking, but there will also be more quiet, more time to think, more time for my mind to drift back to what could have been if my father had never attacked the Lunari. And if I hadn't had to leave Finn. How did he react to the news, I wonder? I'm sure he was disappointed. The Lunari are conceding valuable territory. He probably thinks it was all his fault. Not that he should. Every time I saw him, he was fighting like he was the only soldier of the moon left. I always found myself searching for him. His wings. I knew no matter how depleted the Lunari forces were, he would never allow himself to be pulled back from the front. So stubborn, even in the face of death. I bet to this day he still thinks he noticed me. The night of that banquet in the courtyard. The truth is, I've always been keenly aware of Finn. He came with his father for meetings during the First War. Finn was always in the King's shadow. I found all of those strategy meetings horrifically boring. So I found myself turning my precious attention to Finn. The way he would lean over to see the maps or strain his ears to hear the commanders whispering. He was just so serious, even as an 18-year-old. He would bite his lip when he was concentrating. I remember thinking that if he kept it up, he'd be gray before he was old enough to drink. So, you can imagine it was quite a surprise to find him finally looking at me. That night in the courtyard. I was late, of course.
You know, you missed the whole ceremony. The official map drawing and the full rites of welcome.
I won't lie. The only thing on my mind when I landed was getting a drink. Finn's tone caught me off guard. He was usually all solemn and serious. What was this attitude?
You're Finn, right?
God, you would have thought I had slapped him across the face. I watched him search for a retort, wrestling with his constant need to be the perfect prince.
Yes? I'm the only son of your father's most important ally. You'd think you might know my name by now. It's just basic diplomacy, like not showing up late.
Touché, I thought. But I was enjoying the effect I was having on him, the way his nostrils flared as his fist clenched at his sides. He's cute when he's cranky.
I was in bed.
Do you find your duties back home so tiring, Solari?
He walked right into it. Best to teach my new ally a little lesson about making assumptions. I didn't say I was asleep or alone. I had, in reality, just overslept. But the look on his face was worth all the gold in the Solari vaults. The whole night he kept stealing glances at me. He was watching me laughing and moving in the crowd. I could tell he was absolutely determined to deny himself what he wanted most. By this point, at 21, I had taken every fae I wanted to bed. Or barn. Or forest floor. Or carriage. Once. When the First War ended, I was staring down another summer of uninspiring sexual conquest and family dinners where my father didn't even bother to look my way. So when I realized that Finn presented me with the first real challenge of my life, I knew I had to seize the opportunity. The idea of spending the summer with the Lunari, it was an easy seat to plant in my father's mind. All I had to do was bring up that dutiful little Lunari prince and joke that my father would have preferred a son like him. The trick to getting what you want from my father, for most people, actually, is to make them think it's their idea. So I arrived at Finn's home that summer with a simple mission. Crack his careful resolve and show him that he was, despite his status and sanctimony, just as captive to his desires as the rest of us. I wanted him on his knees before me, pleading for me to open him, to take him, and to hear him thank the spare Solari son as he jerked in my grip and released uncontrollably. But I soon realized my mission would be far more difficult than I had anticipated. No matter how many buttons on my shirt were undone, how casually I swung my legs up on the desk, how hard I made all the Lunari laugh, Finn remained wholly committed to reforming me. He treated me like a project, like target practice or flag folding. Even the members of his court I did charm, the ones I was managing to fuck, didn't know anything about what turned him on. He had allegedly been linked to a few ladies of foreign kingdoms, but no valet had ever found him in a compromising position, no handmaiden had ever seen someone sneaking out of his chamber. No. It seemed like the only place Finn's hips ever moved was in the saddle. I was starting to have second thoughts about the whole thing. But then, one night, he knocked on my door. Knocked is too polite. Banged is more accurate. I was having a perfectly lovely night and therefore outraged at the interruption. I knew it had to be Finn. For all the talk of diplomacy, he was rather vicious when it came to his beauty sleep. This won't take long. Stay exactly like that. Yeah. My nakedness wasn't a tactical decision, I swear. Grabbing a robe didn't even cross my mind. Finn blinked, his eyes sweeping over me, taking in my body. I could see a little color rise in his cheeks.
Just, who's even in here with you? Just because your future doesn't matter doesn't mean you get to fuck up mine.
I don't know if it was the ambassador in my bed or my erect cock, but I finally surprised Finn. As he turned and stormed away, I caught a glimpse of his wings trembling in the candlelight. It was a victory in my personal war, but I couldn't even enjoy it. He had insulted me and cruelly dismissed my whole existence. There was no way I was getting off anymore. The next morning, as I followed Finn around on his little prince errands, I started plotting my departure. I had set out to have a fun summer, and this was anything but. For the record, it wasn't his apology that convinced me to stay. It was what he looked like when he was flying. I was just below him in the sky, and I looked up and I saw his hair blowing in the wind, the sun on his face, his smile. I realized that I had broken through that perfect facade simply by encouraging him to have fun. And I was relatively at peace with not fucking him. I was happy for him to just live a little.
Cassandra, hi. No, I'm fine. I was just reminiscing. Yes, about a battle victory. Maybe my favorite one. Yes, the feast was lovely, but I think it might be time for me to go to bed.
She doesn't hesitate to ask if I intend to do so alone. She toys with her necklace, letting her hand trail slowly down her chest. What good will it do me to drain this bottle of wine just thinking about Finn? Wherever he is, he's not thinking about me. Not positively, at least. Tonight is supposed to be a celebration. Why should I end it alone, drunk, and touching myself to the idea of someone who would sooner kill me than... Wordlessly, I beckon and she leads the way. I can feel the electricity from the night's festivities prickling on her skin. I let my eyes follow the line of her toned back down to her ass. I like the way she swings her shoes carelessly in one hand. Her golden hair bright in the moonlight. But all it does is remind me of that summer. And I would follow Finn up to his room. Oh, I would trail my lips down his wings as he fumbled with the lock on the door. I lie back on the bed and take in the beautiful woman before me as she undresses and settles on top of me. She unbuttons my shirt slowly, guessing her way down my chest. I wrestle my mind back from the past. Even if there was a universe where Finn and I could have been together, the war took that possibility away. There's no point indulging in what-ifs. Only what is. And tonight, what is a beautiful woman in my bed who wants to reward me for my bravery. And who am I to refuse her kindness? Her mouth is soft and warm and tastes like wine. My body begins at last to embrace the present as her hand wanders down to feel my growing cock under my pants. Are you expecting anyone? Her devious smile is all the answer I need.
Enter.
Elijah. He's a commander in my father's army, and also Cassandra's husband. He's here to join us. His amber wings ripple at the sight of his wife in bed with me. Welcome. I watch as Cassandra gets to her feet and begins to undress him. I take another long pull from the bottle. They share a deep kiss as she takes off his belt. I've had each of them and both of them a number of times over the years. They're one of my favorite couples. They just have so many shared interests. And since they're married, there's no pressure to fall in love with either of them. It's kind of the ideal arrangement for everyone. They both join me in bed now. Cassandra kisses my neck lightly and plays with herself while Elijah slowly makes his way down my chest. Then my stomach. I can feel the roughness of his stubble and the softness of his lips. He unbuttons my pants gently and takes my cock into his mouth. I'm not fully hard yet, but he's more than happy to get me there. A good soldier.
That's it.
hands grip my thighs. I have one hand in his hair as I start to thrust up, my other hand on Cassandra's smooth breast, thumbing her hard nipple. It's safe to say my body is busy, but my mind is still on Finn. I wouldn't even be here if he hadn't let me escape that night. If he hadn't warned me, I might have spent the next 5 years withering away in a dungeon, or more likely, been executed. Finn knew how much his father wanted me in Lunari custody, yet he made sure I left safe. Finn loved me. I make myself remember the last time I saw Finn in battle. He was mid-flight. His arm is flexed as he held a bow, firing arrows meant to kill me and my comrades. He was absolutely lethal. And still, as I watched him, I wondered if beneath that helmet, he was biting his lip the way he always did when he focused. I make some excuse, tell Cassandra and Elijah that I've had too much to drink, that I'm too tired, that my mind is busy with thoughts of seeing the Lunari tomorrow. Which is actually pretty close to the truth. They leave, uttering reassuring words as they dress and depart for their own room. I promise them we'll pick this up another time. After all, we're at peace now. I wonder how many more nights like this I have ahead of me. How many more strangers will find their way to my bed? What is pleasure worth when it's followed by emptiness? I can't bring myself to get back into my bed. Not yet. I just turned down a threesome. It would be funny if it didn't make me so sad. I cross to the window and stick my head out into the cool night air. Finn will be here tomorrow with his family. For the first time, I imagine the very real possibility that he might bring a wife with him. That's what his father will want for him, now more than ever. To settle down for the sake of stability in the post-war realm. My mind drifts back to one of our summer nights together. We had spent the day flying, and our bodies were tired and sore. Too sore to do much but kiss. I was lying naked in bed, as usual. And Finn, also as usual, had somehow found the strength to work. He was at his desk, hunched over a stack of scrolls. I made my way over to him and wrapped my arms around him from behind.
You need to go to bed.
He jumped.
Sorry, I just...
What are you doing?
Nothing. I thought you were asleep.
Finn, you are the worst liar I have ever met. And that's saying something.
Fuck off.
He was joking, but something felt off. He was anxious. Seriously, what are you doing? You can tell me, or I can pin you down and tease you until you talk.
They're applications. My father would like me to find a wife. I'm sorry.
Why?
Because I can tell you're upset.
Why would I be upset?
Dane.
There was something about the way he said my name. I realized my disappointment must have been written all over my face. Finn. I don't know where you think this is going, but we could never be together.
I know. I'm the heir, and you're...
You think this is because you're the heir? And I'm what? Not important enough?
No. If I am to lead, I need to be strong, decisive, and focused on doing nothing but what is best for my family and the people we serve. And you are my greatest vulnerability. If anyone knew the way I felt about you, they'd know that I'd always put you first.
For the first time in a very long time, I felt stupid. Stupid for saying all of this, for feeling all of this, for thinking things would be different. For having this conversation naked. All of a sudden, Finn was on his feet, gripping me by the hair, pulling my face to his. As he spoke, his lips brushed mine.
Fuck me. Fuck me.
I swallowed. That was unexpected.
Please.
Are you sure? In response, he found my cock with his hand.
Get on the bed.
He backed me up onto the bed and pushed me down. And he kept kissing me. His lips were firm and certain, but I could tell his mind was racing. We had shared so much that summer. But there was still one thing we hadn't done. He hadn't been ready. And I was perfectly satisfied to go at his pace. Finn, we don't have to do this.
I want to. I want this with you.
I pulled back and studied his face. I ran my thumb along his jawline, searching for any sign of hesitation, and found none. Okay. I found the bottle he kept in his nightstand, poured some oil onto my hands, and reached for him. We'll go slow.
Slow.
Pushed him onto his back and kept stroking his already hard cock in one hand as I dragged my fingers towards his entrance. You need to tell me how you feel. The whole time. And remember, I said as my finger found his hole. You don't need to be the best at everything.
Not right away, at least.
I'm feeling confident, are we? I kept stroking him. Lightly circling his hole with my fingertips. It took everything not to press my cock into him right then. I wanted it so badly. But I also wanted this to happen exactly, perfectly, the way he wanted. His eyes were on my cock. He reached a hand towards me. I swatted him away. Relax. I'm good right now. I started pushing a finger slowly inside of him and watched him bite his lip.
Fuck. Dang.
Is it okay? He nodded eagerly. Do you want more? He nodded, and I slipped another finger inside of him, and he gripped his bed sheets. I played with him lazily, in no rush. Everything felt totally new with Finn. Finally, I felt his body relax and realized it was time. Get on all fours. He obeyed, quickly positioning himself in front of me. His wings flexed involuntarily, shuddering as I ran a finger over his entrance again. God, you are
beautiful. Are you ready?
Yes.
I covered my cock in more oil and then pressed myself into him. I watched him grip the bedsheets again. Okay?
Yes.
We began to move together. I kept checking on him, going at his pace. When he reached up and began to touch himself, I took it as permission to speed up and grip his hips with my hands. Fuck, how do you feel?
Dean Solari at a loss for words.
Fuck you.
You can grab me harder.
Oh. Do you think this is not hard, huh?
I want more.
God, you Lunari, you're greedy. I was struck again by that feeling of newness with him. Maybe new wasn't quite it. I felt like anything was possible between us. It felt like stopping time.
Oh, fuck, Dane. I'm going to.
Yes. I want you to.
Fuck,
please.
Fuck.
Please. After we both finished, his wings started to tremble, releasing an icy mist. It was cool to the touch, glowing softly in the darkened room. I had never seen anything like it. He was in that moment so gorgeous. I was helpless. I leaned forward, pressing my lips to his wings' cool surface. Alone in my chamber now, I feel my wings warming against my back. As I watch the blazing sunrise,